you know it's New Moon Night?
No, Doug, I didn't know it was New Moon Night.
Why, indeed it is.
Amazing.
I believe it is. At least I wrote that down somewhere.
And is this going to be a good segue to something?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I thought I'd mention New Moon Night. You know. There was nothing else going on. So.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we are back for another fun, sticky, gooey-filled night of whatever we're going to do on this show that we've been doing forever, it seems.
It's
going to
be fantastic. Tonight we have Midnight Syndicate.
Yeah, the guys from Midnight Syndicate, which is a very interesting little thing these guys have had going on.
Little thing.
Well, it's not little, actually. They're huge.
Yes, they are.
They're huge,
yes,
as a matter of fact.
Are.
These guys have been banging it out for it says here, like, almost, like, 9 years.
Four albums? Or
actually, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven albums.
Oh, seven.
Seven
wow.
albums.
Wow, see, I haven't kept up on my Midnight Syndicate news.
Oh, these guys are happening. These guys are really cool, man.
I know we're going to be talking about the latest one, right?
And tonight, what I did tonight, you know, is that we do these goofy little breaks and stuff like that, which we pretend are commercials. There's a lot of new listeners coming in. I know that. There's a lot of new listeners. So it's good, you know,
there's
welcome, first of all.
Literally thousands.
Yeah, welcome, first of all, to the podcasters and the people that listen on their car radios or the people that listen on their phonographs, whatever you're using, whatever, to get our broadcast. That's very cool. On our breaks, we play like it's more or less the time for us to go to the bathroom because we suck down so many large amounts of caffeine and nicotine during this broadcast that we need to stop and hit the bathroom, right? So when we go to break, you guys think we're sitting here chilling like with the strippers and stuff,
and like
that.
We're
no.
planning or something.
No. We're all fighting to get in the bathroom, right? So when we're doing that, you guys are listening to music and stuff like that by independent artists from all over the country. All over the world, as a matter of fact, nowadays. And we also do in radio, you do these things that we've learned this over the years. There are these things called bumpers or breaks or stuff like that. I don't know what they call them, but you bump in, you bump out, stuff like that. Well, tonight...
Well, we call them bumpers.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the person that was responsible for that is our buddy Tim. Tim Yancey from Encounters.
Right.
Who actually is like, oh, bumpers. And we're like, hey, bumpers, that's a cool word.
Bumpers?
That's neat.
Like
that,
bumpers? I remember bumper cars.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
I had a ball with those myself.
So let's do bumpers.
Yeah, so I figured we sounded like we knew what we were talking about then. So, you know.
So we did it.
We use the term bumpers
him.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. So all the bumper music tonight is going to be Midnight Syndicate, actually. We programmed all Midnight Syndicate stuff into all the bumper music.
Did they give it a yay?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
totally. I think they did. Yeah, I'm. Email. I don't know.
Yes, you know how it works with communication. Yeah. Stuff like I'm sure they got the message somehow. That's kind of like what you'll be hearing a lot of the samples of their music.
But it'll be great because, you'll be able to hear some a sampling of Midnight Syndicate's really eerie music and what they do.
And that's where it is. It's eerie.
It is eerie.
It's very eerie. We have them coming up at 6:30 till about 7:30 or something like that. At 8 o'clock, we have our good friend. Who's been, I think Vance, I'm gonna mention this when he comes on the air, too. I think Vance has the record of being on this show the most.
Really? Except for me and you.
Well, yeah, except for
right.
us. Yeah. I think he, as far as the stats go, I've looked at the numbers, I opened the books.
Right.
And I think Vance has been on the show more than any guest we've ever had on this show. So
wow.
He gets the king of email.
Yeah, he is indeed king of email.
But there was a problem with that this week, though, too. It took him a day and a half to return an email to me. And I got really nervous. I actually emailed him, like, Vance, are you there? Hello, Vance?
Are you okay?
Vance, is your pager broken or something? What's going on? I mean, did the little chip in your head malfunction or something?
Maybe he was in session or something in Brazil, in a deep forest of Brazil or something.
And he couldn't get to a computer.
And of course, the sat phone, you know. in a rainforest, you can't get sat phone because you need the solar power and you're in a rainforest.
So it don't happen.
Right.
It don't happen. But he actually got back with me, so he's going to be on at 8 p.m. And we're going to be talking about a few things, actually. We're going to be talking about the results high level. Because the problem with this is what we plan on doing with the show.
I read that email. He had attempted. He really wanted to get the total results.
Yeah.
But his current project, which is known by several project IDs, right, is so complex.
Yes.
That he needs extra time to analyze it.
Yeah,
he's a remote viewer. Mm-hmm. For those who have not heard any other Ghostly Talk, he's a remote viewer. He works founded and works at Trinity Science at trinityscience.com, and he does great incredible, you know, work for fun and
business too.
Learning and business, and they do a lot of development, a lot of RV development and learning amongst themselves, because it's still a very, very young science or parascience, even though, you know, many millions were put into it by the government a while back, but it was, it's still very young.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of work over there at Trinity Science.
Yeah, check them out for sure. We're going to be talking with Vance. We're going to get some high-level stuff from the – it was the December 2005 RV project we did. As a lot, if you're old school, if you're OG Ghostly Talk, original ghost or whatever, if you're OG old school Ghostly Talk, you know we've done a couple of projects with Vance in the past.
Yes, we have.
And this was another one we threw in there. Unfortunately, he just didn't have – the time to get all this mass amount of data together to really produce some
for the Trinity Science Project.
Yeah, but what we're going to be doing tonight, though, here is what we're going to be doing tonight. He's going to give us some high level on the December 2005 ORVP project, and what we're going to do tonight is we're going to release the target ID. This is what Vance told me.
No. So this is ORVP3.
We're working on
officially.
Yeah,
I have to figure out how to give him edit rights on that.
That's
page.
What I was telling. I talked to him earlier on the phone. I'm like, we're working on this stuff for you to get you to get you the admin rights. You need to edit the page because we give Vance that privilege.
Oh, it's such a privilege to edit the Ghostly Talk site.
It's a ball. Yeah, we have all kinds of fun doing that all the time. But
I've been on the site more in the past week and a half than I have for the past year.
Well, you know, we didn't get to talk about that much. You know, last week, because we had Dave Brocky come right on the air and start just ranting for an hour.
Right, we didn't get to tell folks, hey, yeah, we did change the website.
Yeah, it's a brand new website.
In case you were wondering, oh, is something different? Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different. Yeah. It's a whole new system we got going now. You can go to the old site, though. A lot of people don't know this yet. I'm working on something, like a hallowed Hall of Valhalla.
Well, it will end up dying, though, eventually, because they've got to reformat that old server.
Yeah, yeah.
And load new software on it, completely new. So the old site will indeed die a slow and painful agonizing death shortly. And I'm talking within a week or two.
Oh, you're kidding
me.
That quick, huh?
It's happening.
Well, go back and check out the old site because it's going to be gone. I got to pull my journals and stuff off of there.
I know. I'm going to copy all the data before
they're going to copy it all?
Before they do the final, you know.
Well, if there's some stuff that people want on there, I guess if you're going to copy the data, just email us, and I guess we can get you that stuff back, like as far as journal entries and stuff like that goes.
Right. I'll probably be able to pull it out.
Yeah.
But I can't post it in the new site because I don't know how, so there you go.
Deal with it. Sorry.
Before we go any further, though,
yeah.
I do want to say that Ghostly Talk is done every single week except for next week. Ghostly Talk is done every single week on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. No. And it's done from the it's such a beautiful day here.
It actually isn't too bad out there.
That I have to give kudos to Mother Nature for such an absolutely glorious day. I mean, it did have a rain shower go through.
But it was
very,
warm.
Very spring-like, and I thought that was very awesome here at the Warren Winery. We're in Warren, Michigan.
Yeah.
We're at the Haunted Warren Winery. Mm-hmm. We do the show every single week. We're broadcast, of course, on the incredible Pioneer at pioneer.rolo, ROLO.net,
mm-hmm.
and also, of course, OmniSound at OmniSoundRadio1.com or something.
Yeah.
It's linked up.
Go to our affiliates page on the new website.
Speaking of which, go to the affiliates page.
Right? Yeah, we have that list now. We can read
I want to read these off because this is just absolutely incredible. Incredibly happy. Of course, we mentioned Pioneer. We mentioned the incredible OmniSound Radio 1.
Mm-hmm.
We have Radio New York International, of course. They've been there forever.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And I absolutely adore them. Well, we're mentioned on SciTalk.
That's more of a portal kind of thing, yeah.
Right. And then, of course, The Edge.
Mm-hmm.
The Edge, which is
KWTF.
Yeah.
Thank you, KWTF.
That's the classic metal show. That's their home base. And those guys are great to us. They're totally awesome.
106.1 FM, KQRP in Salida, California.
Hello.
Hi, girls.
Hi, ladies.
We're also on, what else? Oh, my God.
Can't you read?
No. Oh, KJO.
KJO.
That's right. KJO.
Yeah. Mr. Joe Hathaway.
97.5.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
97.3.
Oh, it'll come in. God, give it a break.
Riff Raff Radio. That's the new one that I I don't think I even knew about it.
Yeah, Riff Raff.
But Riff Raff Radio. Mm-hmm. And then The Point, 99. This is one of my absolute favorites. The, mm-hmm. The Point, 99.1 FM.
Mm-hmm.
They're in, wait a minute, Arizona.
Queen Creek, Arizona.
Yes, Queen Creek, Arizona. They're one of my favorites because they're doing just incredible, incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't we have one for Utah?
What do you mean we don't have one for Utah?
Why don't we have a banner up for the Robin Valley Community?
They haven't
radio.
Given me one yet. I keep asking them for one.
Oh.
I'm waiting on those guys out there. That'll be going up there. I told them, like, as soon as you give me the banner, it'll be up on our site. But that's, yeah, that's also that Robin Valley Radio.
Robin Valley Community Radio.
Yeah, great,
in,
great.
In Utah. There. And then also, of course, The Butt.
No.
Broadcasting Group.
No, not our butt.
It's radio.
Another station.
Radio. thebutt.net.
Uh-huh.
And no, that doesn't take you to an embarrassing site.
No, not at all.
Your mom can walk in the room while you go to
it's office.
While you listen to The Butt?
It's office friendly. It's cool.
Exactly.
Don't worry
it
about
is
the
office
thing.
Friendly.
We are not going to be on the air next week, though, unfortunately, like Doug mentioned. And why aren't we going to be on the air, Doug?
Dun, dun, dun. Super Bowl XL comes to Detroit, Michigan next Sunday.
And you know, I'm so sick of it already.
There's two teams playing, and the fans of the two teams are both anxious for each person's team to win.
For the guys to grab each butts and throw the ball. And,
each other know. Person's team to lose. I think, and wait a minute, I'm not looking at a screen. Mm-hmm. Will doesn't have a screen up of who's on. Mm-hmm. But I think it's Pittsburgh and Seattle.
Is it? Will, you're the
Am
sports
I close?
Guy.
You're correct.
Very, good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very
Rock
good.
On.
Very nice.
Rawr.
So, yeah, we do have the
Super
Bowl. Trucks.
Trucks.
Heavy weights. Pick them up. Put them back down again. Hookers. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Never forget the hookers. That's about as manly as you can get by throwing a $20 bill at someone and having them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I heard about that.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is going to be. The Super Bowl is going to be here at... Oh, shut up. Did you say mom?
Yeah, I want to keep it clean. It's not, you know...
Yeah,
whose mom's
so you said mom, and that just blew away everything
that
we just said
totally
previous.
Totally gets rid of all that karma.
Mom. Yeah. Rainbow bright. Rainbow bright, and it just cleans up all the problems we had before. The Super Bowl is going to be here in Detroit next week, which means... Even if we tried to broadcast, I think with all the cell phone communications, it would just destroy everything we have going on here. There's a few things going on with this thing that really kind of irked me a little bit.
With the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
Well, first of all, Winterfest.
Oh, that started last year.
Well, the thing was is that I just happened to hear this in passing. I understand that the city spent $75,000. On snow machines.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have snow for Winterfest. So we'd all have fun in the snow.
Well, not all of us. I ain't going.
I'm not going either. I'm not going to go down.
Go downtown Detroit this weekend next? No way.
Well, I understand. You know, I'm going to quote, I'm not really quote somebody, but I'm going to steal it because, you know, the thing is, they're so, I mean, I understand they're busy trying to put Detroit on the map. This is a very big opportunity for Kwame to get some real big headroom to make Detroit the big primetime city that he's been trying to make. Well, he's been trying to make for himself for the last 4 or 5 years. I think it would be better to put somebody in an apartment. I don't know. It's crazy because there's like how many people are homeless in the city? I don't know.
To homeless folks.
I don't know.
Rather than some snow.
It's nuts. I know it's a crazy idea and it makes no sense at all. It's beyond the bounds of logic that, you know. We have people that are homeless, and we have a drug problem down there and crime problems and stuff like that. And, you know, all these fun things.
Right. Don't hire 2 cops.
Yeah, you know, maybe put some money into
it. But get some snow machines.
Well, yeah. We need snow machines because it's really important.
Right.
You have to have snow for Winterfest. I mean, what would it be then?
We got to look at it this way. If they're going to spend $75,000, how much are they going to make on having the Winterfest?
Yeah, and where's that money going to go?
To the homeless people?
No, it's not. Who are you BSing? Who are you?
I know it's not. What,
are you working for the mayor now, too?
Theoretically, but
it's going to buy him a new navigator.
Right. He wants to leave.
I don't care if I sound ignorant. I don't care. It's where the money's going to go.
A new addition on the Mahoovian Mansion?
Yeah, why not? You know, it's some more strippers, some more coke. Let's have some fun here, right? That's where the money's going to go. I hate to be crass about it.
Here we are in a political...
I'm just saying, man.
I have to say, the best thing about Detroit still is that it's less than 5 hours from Toronto and less than 5 hours from Chicago and about 5.5 hours from Indianapolis.
And that's why I like about you, Dougie. You're always able to say something positive.
Yeah.
I myself am not.
Oh, you
I just
feel,
think it's kind of sick.
You feel isolated from the cool place.
They're down there leveling abandoned houses that have been up there for 25 years. Sitting there rotting. They've been crack houses. They've been crime scenes. And now that the Super Bowl's coming here, we have to clean up our act.
Well, I was out driving around last night, and on the expressways, they actually had those big street sweeper things.
Oh, yeah, clean
sweeping
up.
Getting
rid of the bums and the dead people and the carcasses inside of the road that have been sitting there. I mean, they're skeletons now. They've been there for so long.
Right,
right. But, you know, the Super Bowl.
You picture
coming.
The desert, they've got those steer head skeletons.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Here, we've just got skeletons of bums.
We got the CEO of Starbucks coming to town. We got to clean up our act.
Right.
We got to clean up our act because they'll give us money, right? They won't give any money to the people that need it in that town, the people that don't have jobs right now, because every friggin' plant's shutting down in every corner, it seems, in that city.
R.I.P. Wixom.
Yeah.
Ward Wixom.
I see ya. How many people were laid off on that one? 2,500? Or even more than that, probably. I heard the number,
right.
2,500.
It's coming up. The layoff's coming up, I think, next year. But.
Oh, yeah. Hey, bye. See ya. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You're on your own. You're going to be a contractor like the rest of us are. Work for 2 weeks, get fired. Work for another 2 weeks, get fired. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not saying another word because this is a paranormal show. Right? It's a paranormal talk show.
Well,
but I just thought it was kind of funny. You
there's
know?
No conspiracy in what you're saying because it's
no,
all,
there isn't. There isn't
it's
no
all
conspiracy.
Just true.
It's very, very true.
So there you go.
Well, you sound ignorant. No, I don't. I mean, it's very, very real what's going on around here. And I just think it's hysterical. How much has been going on to clean up the city? And I've been listening to the radio and hearing, oh, yeah, we did a great job. We cleaned the park up. Why didn't you clean the park up 10 years ago?
And then keep it clean.
And keep it clean.
Right.
Put some money into it to keep it clean. Continuous improvement. All these
plant
fun
a
things.
Tree or something.
God forbid.
I know. But the fact is, yeah, Super Bowl XL is coming here to Detroit.
Yeah.
And soon, can you go to Olympics.com? Soon, and I don't know exactly when, but I'm very, very excited. The Winter Olympics start in Turin, Italy?
Yeah.
Or something, Italy?
Yeah, something like that. I know it is going to be in Italy. I know that for a fact. Why? What's going on with the Olympics?
Well, it's in Milan now, the Olympic torch. But where is that? Is that Turin, Italy? They don't even say Italy. You can't even go to Olympics.com and get Olympics info.
Well, God forbid. Type it. Don't they have a search button or something like that? You can type.
Torino.
Oh, Torino.
Torino.
Okay.
Torino.
Oh, Turin's that shroud thing.
Yeah.
Oops. Okay, well, whatever.
Thanks for mixing that in.
Torino.
That's good.
Well, you know, I got to get
some
little
cool.
Biblical prophecies.
Well, bottom line, though, is we're not going to be on the air next week because what happens is, you know, regardless of the
when
fact.
When does it start?
What, the Olympics?
Yeah.
You're asking too much.
Oh, they don't have that
it
on
starts,
the website.
It starts this year or something like that.
Well, it's the Winter Olympics.
It's February 10th.
I don't think us telling people when it's going to start is going to help. I mean, they're going to know.
Well, because it's going to be on every
yeah,
channel.
Yeah, you're good. It's good.
Every other NBC channel on satellite.
Exactly.
But I'm excited about it because Super Bowl. I do indeed like watching the Super Bowl mostly not because of the sports things, but because of the
commercial
event of it. Well, the commercials, but also the event because it's a family kind of thing for my family.
The Stones are playing this year for the halftime show.
Oh, really?
The Stones are playing.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you why I know that. I got an email from somebody saying, "Hey, I got in with somebody that says, you know, hey Scott, I know you're a media harlot, right? I know you're a total media harlot, and I got in with somebody that they're looking to recruit people for the audience for the halftime show while the Rolling Stones are playing, right?" They have to handpick the audience, right? So I'm thinking, well, that'll be pretty cool. I'm a rocker. I can be down there just throwing down while the Rolling Stones are doing their thing. So I sent an email to this guy. He sends an email back to me and says, okay, this is what you have to do. You just have to come down to this thing and audition.
Right.
To be in the audience.
Right.
I never thought I'd audition for that. I've auditioned for a lot of things in my life. I've been to plenty of job interviews, but I didn't think I'd have to audition to be in an audience somewhere. I thought you just paid to be in an audience. That was a joint effort kind of thing you do. But here's the thing. Okay. We're looking for physically fit, energetic, active people. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3. Zero out of three right there. I don't think I'm going to cut it. So
I'm too lazy to come down and audition.
Yeah, I just can't come down there in a Super Bowl and deal with the traffic and then be, you know, have my 15 seconds of fame and I'm good to go. No, you have to be physically fit. You have to be active and you have to be energetic.
Who's going to go if they're already physically fit, active, and energetic?
Exactly.
They're
doing something
like
else.
Three people, and it's going to be friends of this guy.
Well, yeah, but it'd be kind of cool to see the Stones play that close up. That's why I was like, oh, I get to see the Stones, like front row Stones. That would be really neat.
You're not auditioning to, like, dance behind them or anything. You're auditioning to be the audience.
Now, that would have been really cool. I would have went and hit the steam room for about a week and just come out like
24/7.
Yeah, come out just like shrunk down to nothing. But no, I figured, you know what? I don't even think this is going to be worth my time. I'm going to walk in the room. It's going to be like American Idol. I'm going to walk in the room and they're going to laugh at me and I'm going to walk out crying. So I said, forget about that. But the Stones are playing for the halftime show this year here in beautiful Detroit. We will not be on the air next week.
Yes, we will not.
Sorry,
yes, we won't.
Yes, we will not be on the air.
At the new www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
Right now, Will's going through the message board, so I thought I would talk about that. You get there by clicking on forums, and, you know, in the main menu across the top with the little ghosty guy.
Yeah.
And I've been spending a lot of time in there.
A lot's been going on.
They certainly talk about a lot of interesting things. One of the things I commented on last night was dowsing rods.
Yeah.
Thought that was really interesting, and so there's a lot going on www.ghostlytalk.com. Go check it out; it's there for you.
And I really want to thank the people. You know, we launched this new site last week, and we were all kind of bummed that we weren't able to import all of the data into the new site. So we were kind of starting on a clean slate, so to say. And we were like, oh man, we're gonna look so lame for a while. You know, I mean, the old site.
We go
was,
from this huge full site,
to this new empty kind of site.
New empty site.
But a lot of our listeners, a lot of the people that visit this site on a regular basis, have really kind of stepped up and said, hey, we're gonna help you guys out, get some content going here, get the ball rolling again. So thank you to all you guys for helping us out and just getting the site. You know, you're helping us because we're kind of like still testing in a way, like going, okay. When's it going to crash? When's it going to crash? We're waiting for, but it's been a successful relaunch, like you said the other day, Doug. You said
So far,
it's a successful relaunch, and we're really proud of the site. I really like the way it looks. We're really happy with it. It's the same format, same formula. We don't believe in cramming as many horribly done GIF images into one frame. We believe in putting solid content into our frames.
Yeah, you'll notice that our site is mostly content.
Yeah, it's more stripped down. It loads fast. It works fast. That's what we're interested in.
And there's a couple of things that help that along. For example, when you publish a blog on the website, it goes in one of those little boxes on the right hand side.
Yeah.
When you make a comment to someone else's blog or a forum post or anything like that, it goes in a box on the right. It's all interlinked content.
Yeah, and it's there's a few new things, but we kind of kept.
Oh, the random random image.
That thing's addicting.
I
sat there
going,
click, click. Yeah,
so do I. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, well, wonder what album that's in.
Well, God, yeah, there's some of those pictures that have come up. I'm like, oh, my God. How'd that get there? How'd this thing get here? I look horrible.
My brother's wedding photos are there.
Oh, yeah. We got so much stuff in there. It's the same formula, like I was saying. It works fast. It runs fast. It's simple. It's to the point. That's what we like. We're about people going and downloading the archives, talking about things. That's what the site's all about. We're not interested in trying, you know, obviously, we've been saying it for months and years and stuff here. Everything on the site is free to download as far as the content goes. The audio is free to download. We're keeping it out of the listeners' pockets like we put on the top of the site there. It's very
and
important.
And you are also welcome to take our podcasts. You can our archives. You can burn them to CDs, put them on your MP3 players. You can do whatever you want. You can share them
with
your friends.
Just don't sell them, please.
Well, you can sell them for the cost of the media, I think is what's allowed.
Is that what they're allowed to do?
Yeah.
That's still not cool.
It's like if you paid a buck to get an empty CD or something, you can charge the buck
back.
Well,
if they're putting money into it, then yeah. That's
well, yeah, they
should
get that back. And then their time. I mean,
well,
you know, so a buck and a quarter. But I don't know why anybody would buy a Ghostly Talk CD when you can just go there and get it.
Download it for free. I mean, exactly. God, come on. But yeah, we're really happy about it, though. We hope you guys are enjoying the new site. We're enjoying it. We're enjoying learning new things about the new software and how the whole new thing is going to work. It's really exciting for us to kind of be creative again and try, you know, new things with the new site.
Guess who showed up on this past, well, a couple weeks ago, on the Mothman Lives mailing list?
Who was that?
The daughter of you remember I bought that CD?
Yeah.
Susan Sepperson.
I gotta pull that down still.
Don't say that; that's illegal.
Oh yeah. I have to borrow that CD off you, Doug.
I will remember to bring it.
Yeah,
not next week, but the week after when we're broadcasting.
Yeah, for sure.
I had bought the Derenberger tapes from Susan Sheppard.
Yeah.
And I actually bought it from Susan Sheppard herself, so that was pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. Amazing person. But anyway, excuse me. The daughter of Mr. Derenberger shows up on the Mothman Lives mailing list.
Yeah.
I thought that was just absolutely incredible.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so I've been reading her posts to the mailing list. It's absolutely fascinating stuff. That all has to do with Mr. Derenberger had an alien encounter, or an encounter with a UFO and its occupant.
On the freeway,
And on the tapes, he says that the fellow indicated that his name was Cold.
Yep.
C-O-L-D.
Isn't it Ingrid Cold?
Well, I still have no idea, zero idea where Ingrid came from.
Oh, Ingrid. Ingrid. Like,
yeah,
Ingrid.
No, Ingrid.
Hello, I'm Ingrid Cold. How are you doing today? Sorry.
Yes, Ingrid Cole, the professional artist. Yeah. I don't know. What's your name?
What is your
Ingrid
name?
Ingrid Cole. But no, the Ingrid Cole. I don't know where Ingrid came up.
Maybe it was from the movie.
Well,
maybe I'm a sucker for Hollywood, and I just pleaded my ignorance right there on the air. I know the name was Cole, though.
But there was there's no connection that Ms. Derenberger. Recalls between Cold and the Mothman, other than similar timing.
Interesting.
The events happened around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Around.
You
the
bought
same
that
time.
Like 2 years ago, too.
Yeah, at the Mothman Festival.
I know we listened to it on the way back from that.
Are we going to try and stay at the Low Hotel?
That's been in the talks. Yeah, we've been talking about that for next year.
Quite publicly on the board, but but I'm wondering if because I was going to call last Friday and I just didn't get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking of calling sometime this week.
Yeah, let's get a hold of them, get it booked ahead of time so we can, because I know we tried calling a reservation in like a week before the Mothman Fest this past year, and that was just a joke.
Right.
We said hi,
you know, we're coming to the Mothman Festival, and they go, oh, it'll be nice to see you.
And we say, hey, we're from Ghostly Talk, and they're like, who? Like, okay, all right, well, you know.
And then they go, and then we said, so we'd like a room. And they go, and then they hung up.
They didn't even say, no, sir, sorry, we have no vacancies. They just laughed at us and
laughing,
hung up.
Yeah.
Because that thing was crazy this past year. And
it was awesome.
I imagine it's going to be even crazier in 2006.
Maybe I should have waited till after the show. Oh, well, anyway.
Sorry, a whole bunch of people saying they heard it on Ghostly Talk.
All of a sudden, 3,000 to 10,000 people in the next...
They're building a new wing on there as we speak right now.
3,000 to 10,000 people in the next week are all going to call the Low Hotel. They'll be like, can we have the room that the Ghostly Talk folks can't have?
Yeah, sure. See, when we get there next year, we're going to drive by, and they're all going to be hanging out the windows laughing at us, too.
Throwing
pillowcases down on us, which might be kind of cool in its own right. Like, oh, wow, they're giving us a welcoming party. But I think it'll be more just in spite. Why don't we take a quick break?
I think that's a good idea.
Because we have coming on...
The Midnight Syndicate.
Midnight Syndicate folks coming on here on Ghostly Talk.
This is Heidi Hollis from AlienAdvice.com, and you're listening to the Hot Boys at Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back.
Bill now. You can visit me online at www.ufoguide.com. It's ufoguide.com. But only when you're not listening to Ghost Talk, which you should always be listening to.
Dog, I think they're gaining on us.
Run!
Oh my god!
Those zombies!
Oh my god! That one's got no head!
Oh! Here, have an arm!
Oh, thanks! Let me beat this one off with it. Oh god!
Okay, that was a faux pas.
Shut up! Leave it alone.
That's going in the. Yeah, that big reel that we're gonna make.
We're working on those blooper reels.
The blooper reels,
for your anniversary.
It'll be awesome.
I think we just got some choice stuff.
I think so too.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Adams.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we are chilling.
Yes, we are chilling.
Not quite, because it's kind of warm outside.
That was, by the way, the independent band of choice was Zoloft, the Rock and Roll Destroyer.
They are really cool. I heard them about a year ago, and they happened to just, I went to their website and said, hey, there's an email address. Hey, they're an independent band. Hey, I wonder if they'll let us play their tune out here. And they're just a great, fun rock band, and I thought they were cool, and I asked them, hey, can we use a tune? They're like, here, take an MP3, here you go. Throw it up on your show. So, great band. I'll have them linked up tonight.
Yep.
If you want to check out their website, we have that new panel on the new
website. On the left, yeah.
Yeah, it has the whole show mapped out for you guys now. Every little piece of audio we play is on there from every band that donates it to us.
And that's because Ghostly Talk takes the independent bands and puts them in the mix.
Yeah, we put them totally in the mix, and we have a whole bunch of bands that we have to play. It's gotten out of control now.
I love it.
Yeah, we're having all kinds of fun with that.
I absolutely love it.
Thanks to Zoloft, the Rock and Roll Destroyer, for letting us use that great tune. It's called Moment. Really cool, really cool, fun song. Speaking of music, though.
Yes.
It's ironic they were talking about music.
Because I mean, we never do that.
We never talk about music or anything like that here on the show. We have the two sexy, illustrious gentlemen from a Midnight Syndicate on the line. You guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, who is it?
We have Gavin and Ed.
Gavin and Ed from Midnight Syndicate.
These are the two members. They are the two members of Midnight Syndicate. Let me give you guys a high level. I'm gonna embarrass the guys because this is always fun to do, you know. I'm just going to tell people a little bit about what they are.
Oh, are you going to read their little bio thing?
Well, no, I just
got
a little blurb. This is like shortest bio I'm gonna ever read on the show.
This is Ed and Gavin. No. Go ahead.
Thank you and good night.
I want to hear it. This is going to be great.
It's really simple. It's nothing that mind-blowing.
All right.
Midnight Syndicate is a U.S.-based musical group that has been working mainly in the genre of gothic horror music since 1998. Their music is commonly used to provide atmosphere in Halloween haunted houses, which is very, very different, guys. I mentioned this to Ed a while ago.
That's it? That's the whole intro, bio intro?
I could have given you the whole history, but I figured that would start boring people.
Oh, okay.
I figured that was a good high level.
That'll work.
We can get the ball rolling.
That works. Atmosphere, haunted houses.
Yeah,
okay,
there you
I got
go.
It.
It's all right there.
I got
right?
it.
I mean, it's condensing, man.
Atmosphere,
it's
haunted
management. You guys, I've never heard of a band that just decided to, I mean, I don't even know how to phrase it.
Well, they do more than that, too. I mean, isn't some of your music also in games and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, basically what it is it's soundtracks to, like, movies that don't exist. That was the idea originally when we started off.
Yeah.
You know, to make these CDs that would kind of be... you know, instrumental music that would just really, like, spark the imagination. And then take some sound effects and blend it in there, because that also helps set an atmosphere. And then just kind of create these different, like, worlds and kind of take people to them. And it tends, the way we write, it tends to get very dark. So, you know, the music we made, the discs, you know, right off from the very beginning, you know, we're just very horror. That's where we feel most comfortable with. And so, you know, that's... were the first five discs we did were all very, you know, straight horror discs. Then there was no good Halloween music when we first came out. We actually started in 97. And there's like no
good
Halloween.
Oh, they had like a door creaking and
chains rattling.
There was one, I have to cite this, guys.
My mom bought one of those tapes back when I was a kid for Halloween, right? And there was you spent like whatever, $10 on the cassette tape, and you played it in your living room on 11 on your little crappy stereo system while the kids came up and stole candy from you, right? So The one tape, man, this tape was intense because it was like, you know, you had like the door creaking and the cats meowing and, you know, the cats getting it on and all that fun stuff, right? And then you had, but then all of a sudden, I don't know where you hear like, you know,
the UFO landing.
Some creepy organ music. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this tape, I have to find this tape because it was hilarious. You hear the sound, and I looked at the track listing and it said, Monster Eating Flesh. That was the name.
Wow.
That was the name of the track.
She got that at like Kresge.
Kresge's, right? And but the sound is something like this. I remember this so vividly. All it was like. That's exactly what it sounded
like. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember recording that. They came over and I had just gotten back with my sack full of goodies.
Yeah.
From trick or treating.
Yeah.
And they stuck a microphone in my face, but I was too busy eating. So
you didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Right?
And they called that Monster Eating Flesh.
That was you.
Yeah, it was me.
That was
you.
Well, what's
and it was delicious.
No, that's what it said. It was like.
That was back when we had three choices of candy bars. There was only three. Now there's like.
There was like
candy.
Mild. Spicy. What? What are you talking about? Sorry, guys.
Chocolate, non-chocolate, and healthy.
Yeah,
and Nutri-Grain.
Sugar-free chocolate, yeah.
That was, ooh.
Yeah, no.
No, they didn't invent that till the 90s.
Well, so. No, you guys, that's basically, you know, and I think we made it very apparent when we came back from the break there that that's what your music does, guys. And I mean, I listen, you guys actually were nice enough to send us a copy of the 13th Hour. Your
1 p.m.? Is that 1 p.m.?
In between. The 13th hour, if that's our military time, that would be 1300
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, it would be like 1 o'clock in the day. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like everybody hanging out, having lunch at their local McDonald's.
Yeah, that's not overly creepy.
And, oh, my God, there's a haunted house, too. That's very scary. The only horror album to ever involve a daylight scene.
Exactly.
We're changing our name to Afternoon Syndicate.
Afternoon Syndicate. Oh, that'll be great.
Well, no, I listened to the whole CD because I was mixing stuff together for the show tonight, and I got to listen to the whole CD, which is very cool, by the way.
Thank you.
13th Hour. This is a really cool. These guys sent us this CD.
Well, did you read on their website? Because I went to their website, believe it or not. I never do this, but I went to the website, and I started reading about the 13th Hour, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And it took me a few minutes to realize that, no, it's not a movie.
Mm.
It needs to be.
Well, it's the perfect soundtrack for one.
Well, right. It is the soundtrack to a movie that does not exist. And it... you guys came up with the plot of the movie or the background for this music. It's just incredible. I read that thing. It took me hours. Well,
you know what it is? Yes, I mean, you know, when we put together these discs, you know, we sit down before we start and we kind of figure, okay, what's the kind of, you know, the place that we're going to create? What's going to be the theme of the disc? And then we start to flesh out some details, but. You know, like, as much details as we can. Like, on this one, 13th Hour set in the haunted Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
You know, with the Senate, you know, with the history, and there's definitely a female ghost who's the lead, you know, source of evil there. And we kind of get these different characters and flesh them out in our heads, and then we just start writing music with, you know, those ideas in mind, and the stuff comes together. And then one of the things we try and do is we try and keep... as much up to the listener's imagination as possible. You know, we rarely will ever come out and say, this is what's happening in here.
Yeah.
We leave it up to you because everybody hears something different.
Yeah, it's more like suggesting different, you know, different ideas and different characters and stuff and kind of letting the listener roll with it from there.
Well, yeah, and that's to me, that's always been, as far as the horror genre goes, that has always been the coolest. And my favorite horror films have always been those films that really really got into your head, so to say. They didn't make everything so blatant and in your face. They were more suggestive in nature, and they let you create these monsters, which, in my opinion, well, growing up, you know, being a horror fanatic, every Saturday on the couch all afternoon watching horror films was this, that alone. I would make up these characters or what may have happened to that person because all you see is like an arm flying in the shadows kind of, and you're like, oh, God, that sucks, right?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's definitely the most effective horror films are the ones that do that. I am completely in great agreement with you on that.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, actually, is the original Haunting, you know, back from the 60s, and that's one of the things I really loved about that is it's all about subtlety and not, like, you know, cutting edge special effects and blood and gore and stuff. I mean, that has its place too, and it's cool. But the cool thing on that movie is it relies a lot on just suggestion and imagination and stuff.
Yeah. And you know, the new Haunting that they did, everybody hates. You know what I mean? Pretty much that I've ever talked to, and it's like, it's funny because the exact opposite. It's like really intense, you know, effects heavy.
Yeah, very visual.
And very visual. And I kind of like that because I just love the...
I like the effects in that.
Yeah, I love the house that they did in there. But, you know, but yeah, it's the exact opposite take on the same story. You know, where it's more suggested in the original version. It's more spelled out for you in the newer one. And it definitely didn't do as well. As a matter of fact, most people that I've talked to don't really like it that much.
Well, yeah, you know, in a lot of the older films... Doug,
I don't know what's the movie we're talking about.
The Haunting. The Haunting. You never saw The Haunting? Yeah. The original Haunting?
I don't know what's it about. I rarely watch movies.
Okay.
Oh, Doug, you gotta watch some movies, man.
I hardly ever watch movies. What's the plot of The Haunting? Maybe I did see it.
Go ahead, guys.
It's kind of like a house that has a sinister history and different events that kind of transpire based on that history. And one of the characters ends up, well, I don't want to spoil the plot for you, but one of the characters ends up getting kind of deeply involved in the whole house itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an investigation that's going on. A doctor takes a group to investigate, like, some, you know, it's because it's supposedly a haunted house.
Okay, I did.
Things start happening, you learn about the history of the people that live there. And
I saw the new one. I saw the new one, and it was, I really liked the special effects. I actually liked the movie all the way around.
Ooh.
I own it, so this is where me and Kevin...
I
thought the house was so unbelievably cool, and the detail and the set design was just so unbelievable in that. I just want to stare at the...
It was cool.
You know, yeah.
Well, you know, and we're talking about older films, too. I've always been just fascinated. And I know this is an obvious one, but I have to note it, you know, and I'm sure you guys have... been through this 1,000 times, the original Nosferatu, the black and white silent film Nosferatu. I actually was able to find that on DVD for $5, which I don't know what people were thinking. It should have been three times that amount, in my opinion.
That's a real find.
You talk about subtleties and you talk about suggestive filming and stuff like that. That film leaves your mind to work wonders on your nightmares. And the first time I saw Nosferatu, the original one, mind you. Oh, I couldn't sleep for a week. It was the creepiest thing I ever saw. And it was because they didn't have special effects back then. They didn't have all these toys to play with. They didn't have these huge budgets to work with. So they had to rely on the mind and suggestion and stuff like that. And Nosferatu is way up there, in my opinion. Obviously, if you've seen Salem's Lot... Another vampire film, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people, nobody seems to notice except for me, that the vampire in Salem's Lot was completely and utterly painfully ripped off from the original Nosferatu vampire, right? The center tooth, center fang vampire they used in Nosferatu was a template they used for Salem's Lot, for the master vampire. Another film right there, too. I mean, that's just another one of those films that really left you open to suggestion and things like that. And it ties right in with the music you guys are working on here. When I was listening to this CD, like I said, I was mixing on audio and stuff for the show tonight, and I listened to this whole disc, right? And it, like we said, we came back from break, for example, and we both picture in our minds, Doug.
Right. Running from zombies.
We were running from zombies or something like that.
Exactly.
And it wasn't planned. I just kind of said, you know, this is really makes me think of I'm being chased by zombies or something like that.
That's great.
That's cool.
That is very cool. You know, we love that. You know, there's nothing better than, like, hearing that, you know, a piece of music, any of our music, you know, hearing what it does for somebody, or what it, like, you know, what pictures it puts in their mind. So it was like... hearing you two guys go off, like, it was quite funny. It was cool, though. It's really cool. It's like, that's the goal of what we're trying to do, you know what I mean? Sure, it's good for Halloween, but, you know, for people that like horror, that's what we do the music, so that people listen to it at any time of the year. Mm-hmm. Just pop in that CD and just, I don't know, just
go with it,
go with it, you know? So, it's cool.
Next time we're partying with Sid Haig, I want to get a hold of his MP3 player and thumb through it and see if he's got Midnight Syndicate on there.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
We'll
see. I guess we've been out there for, like, you know, a couple years now. So, yeah, we have. And we meet a lot of people like Sid and a bunch of people like that on the conventions, the horror convention circuit and stuff like that. So I've met him, and there's quite a few people out there that do that that are fans, I guess you'd say, which is cool.
But the amazing thing is, like we said before, though, is that you guys have taken a story. And you didn't have to tell a story. You didn't have to go, once upon a time, when we were in the Victorian mansion in the 13th hour, right? This is what happened. We got bit by a bunch of vampires, and then we got chased by zombies. You guys didn't do that. This is all instrumental music, right? As we've heard already. And you guys were able to tell a story through just making audible sounds. Let's just break it down to the fundamental basics of it right here. You guys were able to tell a whole story in this CD by just going from track to track. You know, I mean, the song, there's obviously track names here. We have Cold Embrace, Vertigo, Fallen Grandeur. I mean, there's a whole list of tracks here, tunes here, that kind of like map out what's going on with the CD. It's a really great piece of work. I'm really impressed with this. This is totally cool. You guys, you know, I was actually looking through your bio and stuff like that, too, just for a goof here, and I noticed you guys actually did, and Doug mentioned this, I believe, earlier. You guys actually did, what is it, a Dungeons & Dragons role players.
You know, so many people were using, I don't know how guys familiar you are with, like, role-playing games and stuff, but, you know, basically there's, like, a storyteller and these other people that are acting out their different characters, and it's kind of like a storyteller. Like, the dungeon master or the game master will say, okay, you enter this, going to this dark cavern, and there's a path to the left and to the right. And to the right, you see a far-off light. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, we'll go to the right. You know, you talk with a monk. You play like a character. You play like a character. Yeah. It's a whole big, like, storytelling. Well, it's kind of like a movie that's being made up as you go, depending on what you do. Like a choose-your-own-adventure book, only you can do just about anything.
You read my mind
and
on
so,
that, dude.
What was that?
You read my mind. I was thinking, like, choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, you're in this atmosphere to have a little bit of music, movie music, in the background, like what we do, is like a great way to really take it up to another level and even make it more like a movie, because you hear this music in the background. That sets the atmosphere while the game master is talking to you, you know, describing these things that you see, and you have the music, creepy music in the background. Just people that play the games really like using our music for background. So we built up such a following with the horror-based CDs that we decided that we would do one for Dungeons and Dragons.
For the gamers.
For the gamers, one specifically for them. It's not quite, it's still dark, because we can't get away from that. We can't, you know, it's like a very dark fantasy.
Yeah.
But it is a little more heroic. There's like battle music on there. And it was designed, you know, the people from that Hasbro, they own Dungeons and Dragons. They came up to us and they asked us if we'd do a soundtrack specifically for the game. And, you know, we're big fans of the game, so we're like, absolutely. And so we did that, you know, maybe like 2 years ago and stuff like that. And that's gone really well for us.
Yeah.
And then the 13th Hour was after. We just released that, you know, a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just noticed that. I'm like, these guys actually did a soundtrack for Dungeons & Dragons. You know, and we always, you know, everybody kicks it around, oh, yeah, you play D&D. You know, we always throw that thing around to people. Because, I mean, in high school, I had friends that did it. And these were the guys, you know, we had our crew of guys that ran around destroying things, setting things on fire, and pillaging places left and right, right? And we had a couple of guys in our group that played Dungeons & Dragons, right, with the other people. The other people. We couldn't know these people, right? But what we do as a practice is, hey, Mike, what you doing tonight, man? Oh, well, I'm staying home. Well, dude, it's Friday night. What are you talking about? Let's go out and set stuff on fire and blow up houses. What are you doing, man? Well, no, I got homework to do. Dude, it's Friday night. What are you doing, man? I got to go. Bye. And then so we drive by their house late at night. And you'd only see their bedroom light on.
Yeah.
And of course we had to throw stuff at the window and distract them and raise hell with them and finally catch them playing Dungeons and Dragons, which, you know, nowadays I'm like, hey, that's really cool. Back then I'm like,
you know,
dork.
One thing it is for sure, and it was like this when I first played when I was very young. It's like, it's definitely, it gets the imagination going. It really is a great source if you're like an artist. You know, it's all about storytelling. It's about these, like, I mean, like a choose-your-own-adventure book, you know, you have all these, like, you know, and this game master is describing all these environments, and it's up to you as the player to kind of put the details, like, he describes a room, and then you're visualizing your head. It just kind of goes along with what our music is, too. It's about, you know, taking these
You get involved in the story in a big, you have to be involved in the story to play at all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's what makes them so cool, huh? Because I never got it. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I never really got into gaming or anything like that.
And a lot of people, that's cool.
But, I mean, that's kind of where that's how these games work, am I correct? I mean, not just Dungeons & Dragons, but, like, other games, I don't know, like, what's the other ones I've heard of, like, Warcraft or something like that, or games like that? That's how you play these games, am I correct? Is that how it generally works? I don't know.
Like, Warcraft?
Well, I mean,
Warcraft is more like, it's like for like a PC, it's like a gaming for like,
is
a computer gaming, it's like a, yeah, and you know, I think.
I think it's based in the same kind of general fantasy, like, idea.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where D&D is more played with, like, pencils and papers, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, you don't have actually, like, a game in front of you, you know, something like, like, Warcraft is more like a video game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, and I've seen, you know, I've seen goofy videos and stuff like that around and stuff like that of people. I mean, you guys say this, like Dungeons, I'm just curious, this is more for my own mind, guys. It's like, you play this game, like, on a piece of paper or something, you guys said, or more or less, like, you just kind of,
yeah,
like,
you have, like, a character that's, you know, you have, like, stats and, like, you have an equipment list and stuff, and that's all on paper, and then it's all interaction between yourself as a character or the other characters, and then the dungeon master, which is, like, the guy basically running and kind of describing the entire game.
He's kind of the moderator of the game, okay.
Exactly.
What are you doing over there, Doug? What's going on? You're over there, like, blabbing away. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, I heard Doug talking.
Me
like,
and Will
are... all right, we'll stop talking about the role-playing then.
No, as a matter of fact, Will and I were just chatting. I had just seen on, because I'm a geek. You wouldn't believe it if you look at me, but I'm a geek. And I was reading, of course, Slashdot, because every geek does that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this story about this video documentary, although it's not really a documentary, it's actually just a video, but they call it, I don't know. Anyway, it's called Fear of Girls. And it's about two people playing Dungeons and Dragons, and you know, it's more like being mad at the one girl. That's the only girl in the entire film is the sister-in-law of the dungeon master. But
okay,
and they don't like each other.
Okay,
but so I don't know where the title actually came from, but it was I just watched that today.
Okay.
And it was really freaky, actually.
Why was it freaky?
Well, the one scene they showed up actually all dressed up and everything.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen.
I'll be honest with you. I've never, in all my years, nobody's ever gotten dressed up. I don't know.
There's some people that are really into that, like the they call it like live action role playing, where you actually act out your persona, and wear the costumes and all that. That's cool. I mean, but yeah, I've never been into that either.
Well, that's what I was gonna say a second ago. I've seen that.
But that sounds more like, I mean, don't people do that at the Renaissance fairs all the time? But they're not obviously battling and looking for, you know,
they're playing a character and they're acting out. Yeah,
the entire weekend. That's what they're doing at the Ren Fair. Yeah.
Well, I've seen some videos, guys, that made me, and I'm not going to lie to you, you know, somebody else sent me saying, hey, check this out, you'll crack up laughing. And it'll be a video of people dressed up like, you know, goblins or whatever they are, or the master or something. And then all of a sudden you'll hear, like, game. And then, like, these people all run at each other, and they start doing, like, mock sword battles and stuff. And then somebody else start going, point, or whatever, or power up this, and then somebody falls over and dies, and then that's the end of the game. And I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, I guess, is that probably that the Society for Creative Anachronism? Yeah, I mean, you get people that, you know, in that Ren Faire spirit, they just love the time period so much, and just, I don't know, they just want that, so they've taken... I guess, like, the basis of Dungeons & Dragons and actually act it out, you know, physically and stuff like that. I don't know.
Like the historical reenactors, too, that, like, take a Civil War battle and they'll actually take on the characters and stuff and actually play the part of whoever, you know.
Yeah, whoever they're doing, they all set up and they fire at each other.
Yeah.
And people die and stuff like that. I guess there's rules for that, too, when they do that, you know, or something.
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here kind of ripping on it a little bit, but I'm a victim of it, too, when you think about it. Because I did that whole, like, you guys remember, like, early last year, I did my Hellraiser Hellraiser role, a fan fiction story I did.
Right.
Hellraiser.
Oh, yes, you
so
did.
I guess I'm just as big of a geek with Hellraiser as people are with Dungeons and Dragons, because I wrote like a 50-page story on us meeting the guy, meeting the Cenobites. So I guess I don't really meant to have room to talk, I think. I don't know. That all stems off the CD you guys made.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Wow.
It is. But well, I'll tell you honestly, yeah, see, for me, it's all, people with, that people have that have good imaginations, and you wrote this story about this thing. It's all the same in the way, I just think it's cool. Anytime, I just like people that, have, active imaginations and like exploring that,
Yeah, and the creative process is amazing.
Getting into D&D or something. Well, pardon?
The creative process is amazing, too, and I'm glad. I didn't really understand it until you guys explained it to me a lot more. And I think I have a newfound respect for D&D, I think, because that is very cool. You're creating things. You're creating a story as you go along, and you're using your mind. And like I said before, the creative process is just a fascinating thing. And that is this whole game makes you do that. That's very, very cool.
It does. It forces you to just flesh out these ideas of what this picture in your head, get your imagination really firing.
You direct the story, too, depending on the actions of the character.
Yeah, whatever you do, yeah.
That'll throw the story in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has to go out and buy your CD for this, too. Everybody who listens to Ghosts and Talk.
Yes, if you're playing Dungeons & Dragons, you do need the official Dungeons & Dragons soundtrack.
This is the official.
There's a requirement. There you go. Marketing.
It says here in the bio that if you don't buy this CD to play D&D, the Midnight Syndicate security force will come out and break your kneecaps, too. So,
I don't know anything about that at all.
We couldn't talk about it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's in the contract.
Shit.
Right?
Oh, quiet. Did I say too much?
Don't
Sorry,
say
guys.
That. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We got a lot more to cover with the guys from Midnight Syndicate. Guys, thanks for coming on the show. We're having a ball. This is great.
Okay, thanks for having us.
You guys are totally awesome. We'll be right back here after this.